I was 22. That was a long time back. I was in my first year of Bible college, and down in Launceston, some of the local churches were brave enough to ask students to come out and just share a song or a testimony and sometimes preach. And I had the opportunity to come out and preach in a what was in those days in Launceston, quite a good sized church. And I came out, I did the message, and I told them everything I knew about the cross. It took about 12 minutes. I must admit it would take a wee bit longer these days than it would have taken back then. And it was all done nicely, everything went well, and we'd sung the last hymn and announcing the benediction as you did in those days, and it was all quiet, it was dignified, it was solemn. When out of the quietness someone yells, a lady yells, "I don't believe a word you said." And I'm thinking, and the adrenaline is flowing, and people are standing with their heads bowed, and they're looking around, and I thought, and because even though I was looking out, even though my head was up, my eyes were shut, I didn't see, but she gave herself away, because at the end of the meeting, normally the person who'd preach, and normally be the minister, would go to the door, so she pushes past everyone to get out the door before I could reach the door, because she didn't want to shake my hand. And different ones were so embarrassed about what had happened, and they apologized that, you know, she'd called out, and unfortunately she was a leader in that church, which probably made it even worse. But then she came back. Oh, and she was angry. She was really angry. And she said, I don't believe anything you said. And I said, so what do you believe about the cross? What about, why did Jesus come? And she said, well, the cross was just a mistake. It wasn't meant to happen. Jesus was sent by God, and I don't think she had it clear if he was the Son of God, but God sent Jesus just to show what love looks like. And he was just an example of what love looks like. And the cross was a terrible mistake, terrible mistake. Was she right? Or was she wrong? So I'm just going to take you this morning on a little journey. We're going to start going back 2,000 years to the craggy hills around the Jordan River. And I can't tell at this stage yet. I think we might go to the next slide. And this is John the Baptist. So this man who is dressed in camel skin. I had to think how he got hold of camel skin. And he lives on locusts, and he lives on honey, and so it means he would have robbed wild bees' nests. So he was a brave man in all kinds of ways. And so he's preaching a message about the kingdom of God. And then when Jesus comes, he sees Jesus, and he cries out, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Now, the audience are Jews. They have their scriptures. And so what John the Baptist has said, he said against a background that they will understand. And so what I want to do, I just want to go through what I think are just some of the elements of what those who heard John the Baptist make the statement, what they understood by what was said. The first picture I want to go to is probably the first story they would have thought of would be the story of Cain and Abel. I'm just going to be reading from Genesis chapter 4, and I'll just read verses 3 on down there. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Now the offering that Abel bought was probably to appease God. It was probably with a sense that because Cain and Abel, from Scripture we see, were the children of Adam and Eve. Now Adam and Eve would have told them the story over and over about what had happened about the garden and about how they were pushed out of the garden and the angel with the flaming sword. They would have heard all this. And so as they're coming before God, Abel is bringing a lamb from the firstling of his flock. And of course, Cain is bringing fruit of stuff that is grown. So the sense in my heart is that if there's a lesson here, it is this. And we'll go to our next slide. Because God only accepted Abel's offering as a lamb. The lesson was the sacrificed lamb was necessary for the guilt of sin to be dealt with. God was teaching, even in this, that if there's going to be release from that sense of guilt that we have for doing the wrong thing, it would come through a lamb. The next picture and the next slide would probably be the story of God providing a lamb when God had spoken to Abraham and said, I want you to take your son, your only son Isaac, and I want you to slay him. Again, I'm just going to read a tiny bit of that passage from Genesis chapter 22. The reading verses 13 and 14. As Abraham looked up, and here in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram, sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. So the next lesson that I think those Jews who heard John the Baptist that day looking at Jesus and when he said, behold the Lamb of God. I wonder whether the next lesson and thought in their mind was to Abraham, where God provided a lamb. God provided the sacrificed lamb. First lesson was the lamb was necessary for the guilt of sin to be taken away. But the second one, God would provide the lamb. Third one is in the book of Exodus. And it is what we call the Exodus. I'm going to be reading just a few verses from chapter 12, and you would know the story. God had the children of Israel, not yet the children of Israel. He had his people in captivity, the period of 430 years. Then when they were coming out, he had told them the way that they were going to be doing this. I'm going to be reading just a few verses from Exodus chapter 12. Reading first of all verse 3. I can find it. And verse 3 says, tell the whole community of Israel, on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. I'll come down to verse 6. Take care of them until the 14th day, that is the lambs, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then the next verse, verse 7, they are to take some of the blood, put it on the sides and the tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. And then down in verse 12, on the same night I will pass through Egypt, strike down every firstborn, both of men and animals. I'll bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you and on the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. So if there is a lesson here, the lesson is that protection from God's righteous judgment against sin would only be possible through a sacrificed lamb. There was no other way. There was no other way. The only protection from God's righteous judgment against human sin would be through a sacrificed lamb. And the fourth out of my five, it's in the book of Leviticus. I'm reading from Leviticus chapter 14, and it's in a section of Leviticus that's dealing with someone who has been pronounced unclean. And I'm reading from Leviticus chapter 14 and verse 8. And it says this, the person to be cleansed must wash his clothes, shave off his hair, bathe with water, then he will be ceremoniously clean. After this, he may come into the camp, but he must stay outside his tent for 7 days. Then when it, coming down to verse 14, where it talks about what will happen on the 10th day. Verse 14, the priest is to take some of the blood of the guilt offering, put it on the lobe of the right ear of the one to be cleansed, on the thumb of the right hand, and on the big toe of the right foot. And of course, we understand it speaks of what we hear, what we do, and where we go. And there was to be a cleansing through the sacrificial lamb. So what do I learn from this? What do we learn? What did the Jews who heard John the Baptist make the declaration about Jesus? What might they have been thinking? Here the lesson is that the declaration that one is clean only followed the blood of the sacrificial lamb. Lamb that had to be slain and his blood put on the right ear, the right thumb and the big toe of the right foot, the one before they could be pronounced clean. Now go to the final one in Isaiah in chapter 53. Again, a chapter and a passage that is very, very well known. I have vivid memories of sitting on a railway station trying to memorize this passage, which I never did. I sat on the railway station, I never got the whole chapter memorized. But Isaiah 53, and I'm reading from verse 3. So Isaiah has a revelation, and it's in a series of passages in Isaiah called the servant passages. And in verse 3 he says this: "He was despised and rejected by men, man of sorrows, familiar with suffering, like one whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he took our infirmities, he carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." So the lesson that Isaiah learned 700 years before the Lord Jesus would be here on earth was the lamb to be sacrificed was a man. It was a man. So we come back to the beginning. So when John the Baptist saw the Lord Jesus, who did he see? He saw the only one whose death could deal with the guilt of sin. Can we have our last line? The only one God himself was providing to die in our place. The only one whose death could protect us from God's righteous judgment. The only one whose death could declare a human being clean. And finally, the only one who could do all these things was a man, the Lord Jesus. John the Baptist declares, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." I come to the conclusion that the woman who yelled out, "I don't believe anything you said," was wrong. God had prepared his people through these pictures and many, many, many more. I was a lad of 17. Well, I think of a lad these days, 17-year-olds think they're not lads anymore. But I was a 17-year-old when the sacrificial lamb became the one that personally came into my life. I was 17 when I put my faith in him. I'd been a church-going person in that sense. I'd had a religious background and thought that I was a Christian until that night when God confronted me. And I saw my sin for the first time. I had never, ever seen it like that before. That night, and not fully understanding what I was doing, admittedly, not fully understanding the gospel, but what I did understand, I cried out to God. And with the limited understanding I had, he, the Lord Jesus, came into my life, forgave me for every sin. And life from that moment was completely different. So just, and the message has come to an end. And I just trust that my experience has been, or will be, your experience of knowing the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world in every way. I'm just going to pray as we close off. Father, I thank you.